I'd like to wish everyone a beautiful, beautiful Shabbos. Hope everything is going well. If you can please continue down for Yehuda ben Shifra, Moshe ben Rachel, Moshe ben Rachel, Vaikelma, two more names, Esther Feder Basleia, and Miriam Lieber Bastavoa. I'd like to wish you a beautiful Shabbos. This week's Parsha is Parsha Vayishlach. So it said Yaakov sent real Malachim to Esav. So the question is, why did he send real Malachim to Esav? Why did he send, Yaakov had servants. And I'm sure some of Yaakov's children were very strong. But why, you know, send a servant. Why real Malachim? So we know Esav's influence wasn't so good on Yaakov. In this week's Parsha, Yaakov asked Hashem, please save me from my brother, please save me from Esav. So me from brother, Yaakov was scared for his spiritual, you know, spirituality. That's the, so the Walag said that's where Yaakov sent real Malachim. Because Yaakov did not even want to have a servant of his to have any connection with Esav. Because Esav might have a bad influence on that servant. Now the servant comes back with schmutz, you know, spiritual schmutz, spiritual dirt. And now that spiritual dirt is entering into Yaakov's camp. So that's where Yaakov sent real angels, Malachim. Because Malachim can't get influenced by anything. One more word from the Lag. Yaakov tells Esav, "I have an ox and a donkey." So Rabbi Elias asked a famous question. He also had camels. He had other animals. Why you only list have an ox and donkey? So the Lag said, "Mashiach ben Yosef, I think, is going to come on an ox. Mashiach ben David is going to come on a donkey, or it might be the opposite. But both Mashiachs are coming on both these animals, ox and donkey." So that's what Yaakov was telling Esav. Esav, yes, you might rule over me now, but in the future, Mashiach's coming, and I'm going to be ruling over you guys. So therefore, Esav, don't try to rule over me, because your rulership is not going to remain forever. Mashiach's coming. I have the Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David. They're going to be eventually. Hashem's going to be the ultimate ruler in the world, and not you, Esav. So don't try. The Walak said avoid. Then Yaakov Avinu said, "Kantati mikol chesed ve'emes." So Divrei Yisrael said a beautiful word. What do you mean, "Kantati mikol chesed ve'emes"? So Yaakov Avinu said, "Hashem, I learned how to become a humble person because of all the kindness you gave me, Hashem. From all the kindness you gave me, Hashem, I realize how humble, how small I am. I realize how great you are, Hashem, and how small I am. I learned how to become a very humble person from all the kindness you gave me." Divrei Yisrael said that. Because again, why Baruch Neumann, the rabbi, young Israel, Spring Valley, explained this. When you meet when a multi-billionaire starts giving you present after present after present, you realize how small you are and how great he is. All the more so, our Kaddish Baruch Hu gives us how realize how small we are compared to Hashem. I know I'm going a bit out of order, but the Be'er Mayim Chaim said a beautiful word. It says, after the whole story with Dinah and Shechem, it says, Chamor, the father of Shechem, spoke to Bnei Yisrael and said, Leimor. So Be'er Mayim Chaim asked the question, why do you have to say Leimor? Say Chamor spoke to Bnei Yisrael and it's like me telling you, it's like Reuven speaking to Shimon, Reuven wants to speak to you, and he says, Reuven speak to Shimon and is speaking to you. When Reuven speaks to Shimon, you're not to say he's speaking to him. Of course we know. Why you use the word Leimor? So Be'er Mayim Chaim said the word is, what Chamor was, it was hard on Chamor to accept the fact what Shechem did to Dinah. It was very hard. Therefore, Chamor couldn't bring out the apology. He couldn't ask forgiveness from Bnei Yisrael, from Yaakov and his children. Therefore, he was speaking about other things. And then finally said Leimor. Then finally he dealt with the issue of Shechem, what he did to Dinah, how he raped her. Then Rav Avram Lefkowitz, he has a kolol in Lakewood, said a beautiful word. Why did Yaakov put Yosef and Rachel at the end of the camp? Why he put when Yaakov Avinu was separating the camp, he put Yosef and Rachel all the way in the back, in the last part of the camp. Why did he put Yosef up in the front? You know, obviously you don't want to show you love one son more than another son. So Rav Avram Lefkowitz said, in Yiddishkeit, in Torah, there's a concept called nirdaf, meaning, let's say Reuven is chasing Shimon, and Reuven's a tzaddik, and Shimon is not the best Jew, but because Reuven is chasing Shimon, Hashem will have mercy on Shimon. Because Hashem feels bad that Shimon is being chased, and I guess he feels with him being Reuven feels bad that Hashem feels it bad that Shimon's being chased, and will favor Shimon, and therefore might give Shimon koach, might give Shimon power to overcome Reuven. So Rav Avram Lefkowitz said Yaakov Avinu knew that Yosef was a tzaddik. He knew that he was a tzaddik. Therefore, he put Yosef in the front of the camp. Therefore, Esav will be the one being chased, and Yosef will be the one almost as if he's chasing Yosef. Obviously, Yosef will not, but it'll appear that Yosef's chasing Esav. And therefore, Hashem said, "Oh my goodness, it might." So Yaakov's now. Yaakov said, "Therefore, Hashem have mercy, might have mercy on Esav, being that he's being chased." Therefore, Hashem put Yosef at the back of the camp. Therefore, the other brothers were weaker than Esav. Therefore, when Esav is chasing the other brothers, Hashem will have mercy on the brothers being chased and not on Esav. And therefore, we'll be able to, that'll give us an extra koach, an extra power to overcome Esav. Then it said, Esav married Machlach bat Yishmael. It's at the end of the parasha, Machlach bat Yishmael. Esav married her. So why do you call Machlach? So really, Rashi says it's really for Mocha. When someone gets married, all the aveiros, all the sins are forgiven. When someone gets married, all the sins are forgiven. So Moshe Feinstein Zatzal said, "Why do you tell me that Esav married Machlach bat Yishmael?" Zakra Moshe Feinstein Zatzal. Esav, here we just said based on Rashi that when someone gets married, all the sins are forgiven. So you figure now that Esav got all his sins forgiven because he married Machlach bat Yishmael, so Esav's totally forgiven, so he'll correct his ways, he'll start keeping the Torah mitzvahs? No, that's what the Torah is telling us. Despite Esav getting all his sins forgiven, all his aveiros forgiven, Esav continued on doing his aveiros. Esav did not change. Esav did not change his ways at all. And like they say in America, Esav did not smell the coffee. He continued doing his ways. He continued going on his ways, and that's what Torah is trying to stress. And that Moshe Feinstein starts at that. And I'll leave you off with one halacha. Rav Daniel Neustadt, he heads the Vod of Detroit, Michigan. It says when you go eat by someone, let's say Friday night, Shabbos night, Friday night, you're invited to eat by someone. So you really should light the candles there. You should light your Shabbos candles in the house where you're eating. So even so, you own a house, but you're eating by someone else's house, you should light the candles where you're eating. But what Daniel Neustadt said, but there could be an opinion that you should light candles in your house. So if Daniel Neustadt tells his congregants or tells Yidden, he said, what you should do in your house, turn the lights off, and then when you turn it on, say, I'm doing it for the sake of Shabbos. But you're not taking Shabbos upon yourself yet, but you turn the lights on for the sake of Shabbos. And then he said, try not to have, don't have any hefsek, don't have any separation, and then go to the people where you're eating, you go the people's house you're eating at, then light the Shabbos candles there. Because therefore you can light the Shabbos candles in the house you're eating, and you also could be continue lighting Shabbos candles in your house by turning the light on and off for the sake of Shabbos. Because the Anusa is very against lighting Shabbos candles in your home if you're not going to be there, because Chas V'Shalom, because of fire. And I'll leave you with one beautiful story where you saw, and again, ask your local Orthodox rabbi, this halacha is just to discuss at the Shabbos table. But you saw Vizhnitz, let's call the guy Reuven Schwartz, I'm making a fake name, but Reuven Schwartz comes to Yisrael Vizhnitz, he's one of the Vizhnitz rabbis in Bnei Brak, and he says, my daughter's getting married tonight, I was wondering if you give me a bracha. And Reuven Schwartz lost his wife, meaning his wife was no longer alive. So Vizhnitz the Rebbe, he saw Vizhnitz gave Reuven a bracha, and he said, after the wedding, please come to me. Reuven goes to Vizhnitz, it might not be the 4 or 5 in the morning. Don't worry, I'll be up. So Reuven lightly knocks at 4 or 5 in the morning, and he saw Vizhnitz answer the door, offers Reuven cake, tea, everything. And he asked Reuven, who was Masada Kedushin? Who got the last bracha? Who read the ksuva? Who was Ada Kedushim? Who signed the ksuva? How was the dancing? How was the food? Was the music good? Ask him everything. And for an hour or so, they were discussing the chasna, the wedding. And then Reuven left, and we saw Vizhnitz and wished him Mazel Tov. So someone asked, we saw Vizhnitz, I don't want to say who, but someone asked him and said politely, nothing bad about asking who, there's nothing to make a difference, but someone asked, we saw Vizhnitz, Why did you ask Reuven to come after the wedding at 5 in the morning? Why did you ask him all about the wedding? So the Vizhnitz Rebbe said, it was actually So it was the Webberton, sorry, nothing but fine. The Webberton asked the vision to Rebbe, why'd you make Reuven come at 5 in the morning and tell you about the wedding? Ask him that day, later that day. So the vision to Rebbe told the Webberton, Reuven doesn't have a wife anymore. And therefore, since he doesn't have a wife, after the wedding, he's not going to have anyone to talk to about the chasna. He's not going to have anyone to talk to about his own daughter's wedding. At least after the wedding, him and his wife can discuss how beautiful the wedding is, how incredible the chasna. He has no one to discuss it. So Vision Rebbe told his Rebbetzin, I was his wife that night. I realized he doesn't have anyone to discuss it. So that's why he told him right after the wedding, come to my house. I want to be like his wife. I want him to have someone to discuss the wedding right after the wedding. Therefore he has someone to talk to. Because otherwise he would have gone to an empty house, have no one to talk to the chasna. I want to be like his wife. Like his wife, because obviously his wife would be at the wedding, but I want to be like his wife that he can discuss the chasna with and get more simcha. His Rebbetzin did nothing wrong. His Rebbetzin did nothing wrong at all. I'd like to wish everyone a gewaldig Shabbos.